time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez. And he's joined by technical editor Kara Pace and educator Lori Fisher.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or
that. And it's gotta be our host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Labor Day weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So we're hoping to get your participation out there. I know you have a lot of other things to do today, but if you give us 60 minutes, we'll try to make it worth your while. Just to remind you of the two numbers here, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject, so there's no point in running all those down. But I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. Again, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We generally don't read them during the show, but if you do send me something, it might pop up in front of me because I'm doing the show via Zoom today. So we'll see what happens, but try to call in. That would be the preferred way of doing it. Also want to remind you to try to call in as early as possible in the show. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded. I have no idea what the call volume will be on Labor Day weekend. A lot of you may be gone doing other stuff, but if you're home and you want to connect, give us a call by all means, and we'll try to get you on as soon as possible. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Also, just to remind you, there's a live stream going on at kalw.org. So feel free to listen there if you like. And also, the podcast should be up before 7 o'clock tonight for those who are used to listening at 7 p.m., and we'll try to make that worth your while. So, all right, let's say hello to my fellow panelists. That would be Kara Pace, technical editor. Hi, Kara.
Hello.
And Lori Fisher from Dabble Valley College. Hi, Lori.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yes. And so we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And let's go. Okay. To all who celebrate, Kara Pace wishes you Shana Tova.
Indeed.
Isn't Shana Tova that valley in Virginia? And that movie with James Stewart? No, I guess
not. Lori Fisher is mourning the passing of Bay Area radio legend Dave McQueen. Known and loved by so many of our listeners, KALW staff, and by all who love Bay Area radio. When Lori arrived in San Francisco, listening to McQueen's way of delivering the news taught him that he was indeed not in Illinois anymore. He dedicates this show to Dave McQueen.
I do. And to those who've been accused of lying down on the job, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes you a happy Labor Day mattress sale holiday.
All right. And that is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Shana Tova, Kara Pace.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a pair of characters. And for each pair, I want you to tell me the sketch comedy show on which they were recurring characters. Okay. Right. So I have a total of seven shows. So I'm going to read you 14 names. Here's the first: Matza Heppelwhite and Percy Dovetails. The second is Nasty the Prison Warden and Barf. Third is Benita Betrell and Calhoun Tubbs. Number four is Buddy Love and the Head Crusher. Number five, Rhoda Dimple and Alfred Funt. Number six, Somerset Winterset and Doris Hickenlooper. And finally, number 7, Wendell Sanders and Megan. So I'll just read through them quickly one more time, and then I'll give you each one. Matza Heppel-White and Percy Dove Tonsils is the first. 2 is Nasty the Prison Warden and Barth. 3 is Benita Betrell and Calhoun Tubbs. 4 is Buddy Love and the Head Crusher. 5 is Rhoda Dimple and Alfred Funt. 6 is Somerset Winterset and Doris Hickenlooper. And 7 is Wendell Sanders and Megan. So again, each just one, please.
Well, whew. I only know one for sure. Maybe Lori knows the same one for sure.
I know one and a half. Take the one you know.
Well, Matza Heppel-White, that's Ernie Kovacs. And same with Percy Dove Tonsils, who's great.
I remember Percy Dove Tonsils, yeah.
Yes, yeah. the poet laureate, Percy Dove Tonsils.
He was great.
It's the first show I remember watching with my dad. They did reruns on Nick at Night. And he was a big fan of the Ernie Kovacs show.
With the Nairobi Trio. That was the one I knew the most. I think number 6, could you read the characters' names?
Somerset Winterset and Doris Hickenlooper.
Is that the Howdy Doody show?
It is not.
Oh, I thought Somerset. I thought that was the name of the Indian princess or something.
No.
All right. And Buddy Love. Was that a character played by Eugene Levy?
It was not, no.
All right. Well, then I'm out.
All right. So the ones we have left, Nasty the Prison Warden and Barth, Benita Betrell and Calhoun Tubbs, Buddy Love and the Head Crusher, Rhoda Dimple and Alfred Funt, Somerset Winterset and Doris Hickenlooper, and Wendell Sanders and Megan.
Well, Barf is the one that's kind of semi-familiar to me. Wasn't that a Mel Brooks thing?
No, I know what you're thinking of. I'm saying Barf, B-A-R-T-H. Barf is the name of John Candy's character in Spaceballs, which is a Mel Brooks production, I think is probably what you're thinking of.
Okay.
Barf is short for Barf Following
You. So spell that for me again.
It's a B-A-R-T-H.
Oh, Barf.
Of Barth's Burgers. Barf.
Oh, I see. Okay. Barth.
Like John Barth.
So is this related to Bob's Burgers or anything like that?
It is not. These are all sketch comedy shows.
Okay. All right. Okay. That out. And Laura, you go ahead.
All right. I'm going to swap my first question because I had a fictional character question. I'll ask it the second round. This is different. I'm going to give you a list of 6 people, and these people, or at least the names of these people, appeared someplace recently in a very important document. Here are the names. Sidney Poitier, Aretha Franklin, B. Arthur, Freddie Mercury, Selena, and Bruce Lee. So Sidney Poitier, B. Arthur, Aretha Franklin, Freddie Mercury, Selena, Bruce Lee. These people, or at least the names of these people, appeared recently and importantly in a prominent document. What is that document?
Document.
A printed document.
Does this have anything to do with LGBTQ?
Not to my knowledge. Okay. Not directly.
So who's the second name between Poitier and Arthur?
I have Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin, thank you.
And then they're joined.
So, but they didn't. They just appeared in the document. They didn't sign anything.
Correct. A number of them have passed away, I think, so they couldn't have.
So, but this is when you say recent, you mean as in very, very recent.
I'm going to say very, very recent.
And one last time. I'm sorry. I'm missing, I think, a name. Can you read that list one more
Sidney
time?
Yeah. Sidney Poitier, B. Arthur, Aretha Franklin, Freddie Mercury, Selena, and Bruce Lee.
So the only person who's still alive right now is Sidney Poitier. Right?
Yes.
It's Aretha Franklin. I'm going to do it again.
Is B. Arthur passed away?
No, she died.
No, she's dead.
Okay. Anyway, so Sidney Poitier, B. Arthur, Aretha Franklin, Freddie Mercury, Selena, and Bruce Lee, their names all appear in an important recent document. What is that document?
I can't think of any recent documents. Do you know any document news, Dana?
Yeah, I'm not.
I can't say any more because it'll give it away. So somebody out there will know it, I think. If not, second time around, I'll give a clue.
Is this politically related?
Yes.
Okay.
Does this have anything to do with Texas?
No.
Okay.
Not
so it's politically related. Were they on? No. This has nothing to do with the, like, the enemies list or something like that, does it?
It does not.
Politically related. Okay, leave it out.
It's a political topic.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter Embernal. I'm not going to be any help with curious questions. I do love the name Somerset Winterset.
That's great.
I do have a question.
Yes.
What are the three oldest state houses that have been in continuous use? And can you give them to me in the order of age?
Ooh.
Well, let's see. Is Virginia one?
It is one.
Okay.
Pennsylvania one?
No.
That's good.
I mean, I would think that the state capitals of, like, New York and Pennsylvania would have moved around a bit, right?
Oh, good point.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
States probably have had the same state capital the whole time.
I wonder if that means to go for a small state. Like, what else is going on in Delaware, right?
How about, for instance, Providence, Rhode Island?
No.
Right.
Did you hear Kira?
What about Dover?
No.
Okay.
Are we speaking of only the 13 original colonies, or is there something beyond that?
Oh.
They are all 13 original colonies.
Yeah, right. Boston must be old.
Yeah. Not the oldest.
No kidding. All right.
All right. Then how about... I'm trying to think of the state, you know, the states where the colonies were the states where they never moved the capital. In other words, it's been the same. Since,
right. What about Columbia, South Carolina?
No.
What's the capital of North Carolina? Let's go with that.
Raleigh.
Yeah, no. I think that's changed.
Well, then I guess, Dana already got Virginia. We could go with Maryland, Annapolis.
Maryland,
that's
yes.
Good.
That is the oldest.
Haven't we named all 13?
Probably. How about Trenton, New Jersey?
Yes.
Ooh. All right.
Interesting.
Okay. Virginia is two, and New Jersey is three.
And what's
all right,
good
job.
What about New Hampshire? Or do we don't have all three, right?
We have all three.
Yes, you have okay. three. They are okay. Maryland, Virginia, and New Jersey.
Maryland, good.
Great. All right, thanks, guys. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. And it's my turn. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a long question because I sometimes don't get to those later on the show because you two hog everything. I'm just kidding. So according to Smithsonian Magazine, I want you to name the states that these famous inventions came from. Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of famous inventions, or at least well-known inventions, and I want you to tell me the state they originated in.
How many?
All right, number one, garage door opener. Number two, handheld calculator. Number three, the light bulb. Number four, the ice cream cone.
Ooh.
Number five, post-it notes. And number six, the taser. So again, according to Smithsonian Magazine, name the states that these famous inventions came from. Number one, garage door opener. Number two, handheld calculator. Number three, the light bulb. Number four, ice cream cone. Number five, post-it notes. And number six, the taser. Okay, I'll give you each one guess.
Kira, what do you know?
I think I have maybe three. I mean, they're kind of one of them I know. What do you have?
Yeah. I have one and a half.
With yours.
I'm going to go with the Post-it in Minnesota, the 3M company. Is that it?
That is correct. 3M company. Do you want to hazard a guess on the how long ago it was?
Ooh. Well, it was in one of our lifetimes for sure, I would say. I'm going to go with about 1974.
Ooh, you're right on it. Very good.
Oh,
you're absolutely correct.
Whew, I'm
all right, Kira, what's your guess?
I don't want to take that one. Let's go with Was the ice cream cone a World Fair thing?
It was indeed.
Was it St. Louis, Missouri?
It was. Yes. All very right. good.
I don't remember the year, though. Let's say Meet Me in St. Louis was 1920.
No.
No.
But you've got the two-thirds of it. So it's the ice cream cone was invented for the St. Louis World's Fair in Missouri in 1904.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Let me give you a shorter question here. What are the four U.S. states where the most common ancestry of the residents is English? When I say English, I mean the U.K. or, you know,
and this is the current residency of the state, correct?
Yes. Where the most, if you trace back the ancestry of the residents, it would be England. So what are the four U.S. states where the most common ancestry of the residents is English or England?
We're going to double down on Massachusetts.
No. Mm. Massachusetts is a very mixed state. Much like Portuguese and French and everything.
Mm. Ooh, that's interesting. Because I'm thinking New York, but I'm also thinking of how heterogeneous New York is. So I'm going to take back New York. I don't know. And so this would include Ireland and Scotland? We're talking about...
No, let's just stick to England.
Okay. Ireland's its own country.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'll put in one of the 13 states again, or East Coast. How about Maine?
Yes, Maine is one. Right. Very good. Whew. Okay, good job on that. All right. Thanks. So once more, what four U.S. states, if you trace the ancestry of all the residents, would you be most likely to find them, their families from England? Okay, so we have Maine. What are the other three? And according to Smithsonian Magazine, name the states that these famous inventions came from. The ones we have left are garage door opener, handheld calculator, the light bulb, and the taser. What states did those inventions come from? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, ZW. So we're going to stick with science today. The first question is about elements. Which is the most expensive element in the whole world? Let me give you the price on it. 1 billion with a B per gram. We have the city of Berkeley to buy a gram of it. Okay.
How about plutonium?
No, plutonium actually not that expensive. It's only about 4,000 pounds, $4,000. Okay,
Labor Day sale this weekend.
It is only used for research. Let me give you a hint. It is named after a European country.
Oh,
Francium?
Not England.
Francium?
Francium it is. Very good. Give yourself a bill, as they say. Yes, francium. It is only used in research. But it is traded between nations, and it is $1 billion per gram. What is the second one? $25 million per gram. $25 million. So you have to sell about, 25 houses in Berkeley to buy a gram of that. What do you think?
Need a hint.
Actually, this is even more interesting. It is named after a state in the United States. Should be very obvious now.
California?
Yeah.
California it is. Yes. It was discovered in Lawrence Lab, our beautiful Lawrence Lab in Berkeley, and that's why it's called California. 25 million dollars per gram. Remember, gram is a very small amount of material. Okay, the second question is, with all of the galaxies and stars and Earth and planets, all of the visible or all of the material we know, it only makes 6% of the universe. So 94% is made what is called dark energy and dark matter. We really have not exact idea what the heck it is, at least for dark energy, we don't at all. But dark matter is some idea. One postulated that it's made out of WIMPs and MASHOs. And MASHO. WIMPs and MASHOs. What WIMPs stand for and MASHO, MACHO? Let's spell it. WIMPS and the other one is MACHO. So what is the first one? WIMP.
WIMPs and MACHOs.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Okay, because I have a question for your audience. Okay, WIMP stands for Weakly Interacting Massive Particle. You could have trillions of them going through your body right now, and you don't feel them because they, they do not interact with us. The other one, MASHES, is Massive Halo Object. The huge object in our galaxy all over the universe, but they don't emit light, so we don't see them. They could include black holes. They could include very dim stars, very big planets. Those are what called MASHES. Okay, question to your audience. Very interesting, very quick. I want you to, your audience, to explain to everybody what is Fermi paradox and what is twins paradox. This is the really one question, but okay, Fermi paradox about something and twins paradox about something. Twins paradox revolve about theory of relativity. Fermi paradox evolved around ET, extraterrestrial aliens. Thank you. Always great show. I hope somebody answered this question.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We also hope you can give us a call if possible. We'd love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, how about Texas, as in Texas Instruments for the calculator?
That is correct.
Hooray! And the other one was actually right near where I lived in New Jersey, Llewellyn Park. It was part of West Orange, New Jersey. That's where the Edison Labs are for the light bulb.
That's right.
You know, and if you're ever in the area, go there. You can, they give you a tour of it. I was given a tour by somebody who worked for Edison because I was a little kid. Let's put it that way. He was an old guy, but he worked for Edison. And they've got the little devices that he made. The workshop is set up just like it was when Edison died, which was in like 1920s. Anyway, definitely go check it out. Though you see the light bulb, the Black Maria, the original. Because do you know what that is? The Black Maria.
Hope for them.
That's the.
Or
wait a minute. That's not the original. No. I was thinking of the original light bulb, which is still burning.
No.
Isn't that a police car or something? Isn't it?
No. It's the original movie theater because they had to. It's on a platform. They had to rotate it to get the sunlight because they didn't have a powerful enough lamp to show his movies. They had to rotate the theater to catch the
light.
Anyway, okay. Definitely go. But okay, just a little like following up on something before. Do you remember? Because I had said this had to do with landlocked. A river basin that has, or a basin that has rivers flowing in, but no outlet. Do you remember what I said that was called? It was endoric. Endoric means like a landlocked lake with no outlets. Anyway, how do you spell endoric? Meaning it's a landlocked, you know. All the rivers flow into it, but they don't flow out. Do you remember what endoric? Do you know how to spell it?
E-N-D-O-R-I-C.
Say it again.
E-N-D-O-R-I-C.
No, it's not I-C. It's H-E-I-C.
Oh.
Very tricky. Very tricky. Okay, now this is the coolest question. The coolest question. Remember I left off last time, 2 weeks ago, and it had to do with the consulate. Is that the right consummate relationship? Consulate. Do you remember where they talked about the four types of symbiotic relationship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Commensalism. Okay. The disgusting example of commensalism is the lion, after he eats its share, in comes the vulture and eats up the scraps, the leftovers. But I heard this a few weeks ago. Another example of commensalism is two birds. One of them is the yellow-bellied sapsucker. Now, they just made this observation recently. The yellow-bellied sapsucker, which is a woodpecker, pecks at a tree and gets the sap. And when it's done, name the animal you think has a commensurate relationship with it, and it's quite beautiful.
No.
Wait, you said this is another bird?
Yes, it's another bird, and think of the yellow-bellied sapsucker, what it did in pecking and pecking. It wasn't eating
right, it
crust.
Created wood, so like what would a, I don't know. That's why I was asking if it was a bird. I don't know of any like wood-eating birds, for example.
Right. So the yellow, just imagine this yellow-bellied sapsucker, it pecked away, didn't eat grubs, but just like loosened up some sap. And then when it flew away, in came another bird to enjoy the sap. What bird do you think it is?
So I called
bird.
That one a sapsucker.
Yes!
But I don't name birds.
You're right.
Hummingbird. Very
hummingbird.
Good.
Another bird that likes the nectar. The hummingbird. They've made this observation that hummingbirds tend to hang around yellow-bellied sapsucker. Quite a beautiful commensurate relationship.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And as I said before, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. I neglected to tell you that our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Kira, could you go down that list of names once more for me?
Sure. Nasty the Prison Warden and Barf. Benita Betrell and Calhoun Tubbs, Buddy Love and the Head Crusher, Rhoda Dimple and Alfred Funt, Somerset Winterset and Doris Hickenlooper, and Wendell Sanders and Negan.
I'm probably wrong about this, but the only Buddy Love that I can think of is the one from the Nutty Professor, who was Jerry Lewis's alter ego. That's Buddy Love.
No. But, I'm sorry. I keep saying Buddy Love. That's my fault. I'm so sorry to the listening audience. It's Buddy Cole. Buddy Cole. At some point, he introduces himself as Buddy Love, and I apologize. Buddy Cole. The Head Crusher.
And Somerset Winterset, does that have anything to do with Sid Caesar?
It is.
Ooh.
Because I've watched, I might have seen a little bit of that, because they have all those Sid Caesar, your show of shows on YouTube.
And that is the answer, by the way. So there's your bell, your show of shows.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. All right. I don't know the others. Anyway, let's see. We might as well repeat everything there. So let's get on all with that. Kira, I'll start with you.
Oh, I just had that question. I just reread.
Okay.
Do you want me to reread it again?
No, I guess you're all right. Okay. Lori, go ahead.
And I want to know what these names, these famous people, Sidney Poitier, B. Arthur, Aretha Franklin, Freddie Mercury, Selena, and Bruce Lee, all appeared someplace recently, are appearing, is another way to say it, in an important, prominent document. What is that document?
So you don't want to give us any kind of hint at all on this?
Yes. Okay. Let me think here. I can do this. I would say that almost all of our listeners maybe not have read these names, but have seen this document within the last 4 months.
Oh, is this the California recall?
It is. They're the ones.
Are these
on the
write-in votes?
No. Kind of. They're
They show you how
to fill in your ballot.
It's the sample.
Yes.
It's the sample ballot.
I thought it was so. I have no idea how they picked them, but the sample ballot that shows you how to fill them in correctly or not.
You know, it's very interesting you bring up that question, because I remember, and this was just like last year, maybe the year before, they had the weirdest collection of names previous to this one. They had like George Jessel, Carol Lombard, and I thought, who is the person who's doing this? Because I would like to meet them. I mean, this person has such an old sensibility. So I was amazed by it, but they finally got rid of him, apparently.
They have brought in somebody to pay attention to a whole different set of celebrities, and those are the ones.
They moved it up by a couple of generations. Yeah.
Most of these have biopics, and then there's B. Arthur. I don't get it.
Exactly.
I'm into it.
One of these is not like the other. Probably in every case. Yeah, they do have biopics. Good point.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Sidney Poitier biopic, and there's not B. Arthur, but I think the rest of them.
Okay, just before I forget, let me just quickly repeat this. Okay, what are the four U.S. states where the most common ancestry of the residents is from England? And so far we have Maine. What are the other three states? And according to Smithsonian Magazine, name the states that these famous inventions came from. All we have left are the garage door opener and the taser. What states were those invented in? Okay. And Kira, I think it's your turn. Isn't it?
All right. Yes. So the UK's Money magazine ranked the world's most popular condiments across 35 countries. I want to know what the three most popular condiments are. And also, they ranked condiments across states. So the world's most popular condiment is also the United States' most popular condiment in at least in 32 states. What is the only state in which Worcestershire sauce is the most popular condiment? So the world's three most popular condiments, according to the UK's Money magazine, and the only US state in which Worcestershire sauce is the most popular condiment.
All right.
Well, okay. So I just have to clarify, just for my own benefit, nobody else's. Can these condiments be used? Can they either breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
they can show up whenever you want to eat them. But these are going to be more lunch and dinner than breakfast. And one of them I don't even qualify as a condiment, to be quite honest. And that's the world's most popular. So.
You recognize it as a food rather than a condiment, like something to put a condiment on?
So it's sort of a weird middle ground. I don't want to give away too much.
So a condiment to me would be, and I guess what Lori would agree, like mustard or ketchup. You know, those are condiments.
Mayonnaise. Sure. Yeah.
So fish the one sauce that you're thinking of is one that can be eaten individually without being put on anything. Is that what you're, is that your point?
It's not exactly. You would still put it on something. It's just, you would eat it in kind of a different way. You wouldn't necessarily put it atop something. You would eat it with something, but I guess
then
it's still
atop
something.
I suspect that this is a vegetable or a,
like chutney
or
salsa.
Fruit. Yes, exactly.
Well, guacamole. Chutney I would consider guacamole. A condiment, but.
It's guacamole.
Guacamole is correct. Yeah. See, I kind of, it is a condiment, I guess. You put it on top of stuff, but I kind of think.
Well,
of it,
yeah, but you know, you can eat it without putting it on anything too. Yeah. So, like, you would never eat mustard without putting it on something.
So guacamole is one of them, right?
Guacamole is the world's most popular condiment.
Is ketchup on the list?
It is not.
Okay, not one of the top three. And Worcestershire, where would that be popular? A meat-eating state. That's what I think of it. Goes in Bloody Marys and on steak.
Yeah, it's a very sensible answer.
Okay. So,
well, yeah, right. I mean,
Is it a meat-producing state?
I'm not going to say quite yet. Right. I'll just let you guess. I'm going to probably be right.
I'll go with Iowa.
Incorrect. What did you say, Dana?
Well, I almost said Texas, but then that would probably be barbecue sauce. So
I would first instinct.
Go.
All right, Texas.
Yeah, Texas is correct. Yes, okay. It is indeed a meat-eating, meat-producing state.
All right. Well, we should stop now. What's left on that question?
So UK's Money magazine ranked the world's most popular condiments across 35 countries. What are the three most popular? The world's most popular, Dana got, is guacamole. Looking for the other two.
All right. And Laurie, go ahead, please.
All right. So this is my character question, and it is this. I ran into a comedian talking about Chuck E. Cheese, and it turns out that Chuck E. Cheese has a middle name. So my question, I'm going to give you six fictional characters, and I want to know what their middle initial stands for according to whatever the invention it is. The first is Chuck E. Cheese. The second is Alfred E. Newman. The third one is Wile E. Coyote, usually pronounced Wile E. Coyote. The fourth is Homer J. Simpson. The fifth is, from the Dobie Gillis Show, Maynard G. Krebs. And the last is Captain Spaulding from Groucho. Hooray for Captain Spaulding. And there's a dialogue in there where he announces himself as Jeffrey T. Spaulding. And what does he say the T stands for? Chuck E. Cheese, Alfred E. Newman, Wile E. Coyote, Homer J. Simpson, Maynard G. Krebs, and Jeffrey T. Spaulding. Give you 1.5 each if you know them. I had fun looking these up, by the way.
I know exactly two.
Go ahead.
What you got?
Well, I'll just start with Chuck E. Cheese. That's Charles Entertainment Cheese.
It is a great middle name. So give you one bell for that. Dana, you got one?
No, I'm trying to think about the Spalding. One of them, one of these is where the name ends up having nothing to do with the initial.
That is correct.
And I think it's Jeffrey T. Spalding, but I can't think of what he said.
He's got a good punch. I'll give you that one. They said, what does the T stand for? And very straight face, he says Edgar. So that's that one.
All right. What show is that?
That was in Animal Crackers, right?
The Marx Brothers. Okay.
Yeah, yes. The Marx Brothers. And then let's see. So that, Kira, you want to take one more?
Yeah, Homer J. Simpson, J is J.
That's correct. I figured that was your low-hanging fruit. Okay, so we're looking for Maynard G. Krebs, Wile E. Coyote, and this surprised me. I thought he wouldn't have one, but he does, Alfred E. Newman.
All right, then I'm going to quickly do my question, then we're just going to do calls for the rest of the hour, I think. Great. So I have six countries here. Well, actually, there are five countries, and one is a regional thing. I want you to tell me how to say thank you in each of these countries, in their languages, their native languages, okay? Yeah. So I'm looking for how to say thank you in the native languages of these five countries and one overarching language. Not the last one, but you'll get it in a second. Anyway, so Russia, Sweden, Portugal, Greece, Israel, and the language is Arabic, which covers a lot of different countries. So I just threw that in there. So again, how do you say thank you in the languages of these countries in this one general area? Number one, Russia. Number two, Sweden. Number three, Portugal. Number four, Greece. Number five, Israel. And number six, how do you say thank you in the Arabic language? All right, I'll give you each one.
Go ahead, Kira.
Sweden is talk.
Yes, that is correct.
Good. Ooh, I think I'm gonna. Not, I think I'm wrong, but I think in I'm gonna guess Bavaka Sean is for Israel, but I think that might be please.
Yeah, that's not what I have anyway.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Being the authority I am on the Hebrew language.
Well, it's been a long time since my bar mitzvah, so I'll check back. Don't tell my rabbi. That's the only one I didn't even. I'm not close on any of the others, so I'll give my second one to Kira.
I'm good right now.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're still looking how to say thank you in Russian, in Portuguese, in Greek, in Hebrew, and in Arabic.
Does Russian start with a P? The Russian thank you.
There is a P in the word, but it does not start with P. It
doesn't start there. Okay.
No. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Sparky and Maddie in Connecticut. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. In Russian, it's spasibo.
Right. Correct.
And that's all I'm going with.
Spasibo.
Kira. Yeah. Bud and Head Crusher, that's the kids in the hall.
It is. I can't believe I said Buddy Love instead of Buddy Cole. I'm embarrassed. But yes, you are correct. Buddy Cole and the Head Crusher. Kids in the Hall.
Right.
Oh, Buddy Cole was the gay guy, right?
Scott Thompson,
Scott Thompson, right. Right.
Mm. And Katrina and the other one, that's in Living Color.
Benita Betrell and Calhoun Tubbs?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't have a Katrina on my list, but Benita Benita Betrell, Calhoun Tubbs, those are in Living Color.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Wrote down. Okay, I've got a list of 150 songs in which the B side is better known, got better known than the A side. How about I just give you three of them?
All right. Yes.
Okay. All right. One is 13 Women and Only One Man in Town by Bill Haley.
Rock Around the Clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rock Around the Clock, of course. Number two, Reason to Believe by Rod Stewart.
Maggie May.
That is Maggie May. And lastly, but not leastly, William, It Was Really Nothing by The Smiths.
What would this have been the B-side to? It's embarrassing. This is the only one I should know.
I was going to say, Kara, this should be you.
This should be my bag.
I'm not counting on Dana knowing the Smiths' repertoire.
Well, mind you, that was the original A-side that I just gave you. And the right, B-side became a lot better and got more airplay. And yeah, probably became their most signature tune.
There's a Light That Never Goes Out?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, William is... Yeah, that's not even the right album. Don't mind me. Do you know what album it's on? I mean, I know it's on Louder Than Bombs, and it was just like a bunch of... It was collection, so... Right, that was a bad question. Okay, it's not really on an album.
Wait a minute. What was the song that you suggested, Kira?
It was from The Queen Is Dead, which is... this was from when they were doing a bunch. Yeah, There's a Light That Never Goes Out. So this is when they were just putting out a bunch of singles.
I remember the Smiths. You know, this is not completely foreign to me.
How about Shoplifters of the World Unite?
This is probably the best known song.
For the Smiths?
I can name only maybe two songs for the Smiths, and probably neither one is the How Soon Is Now is one.
And that is the answer.
What?
Dana.
Good job.
Give yourself a double bell.
Well, I had a good friend at the time who was a big Smiths fan, so I kind of remember that.
A pop question from Dana Rodriguez. Well, great.
Yay. Okay, that's it. We're done. Bye.
All right. Well, that will be the last Smiths question I ever get for the rest of my life.
That's okay. You don't need any more now.
Since that's the sum total of my Smiths knowledge.
One's all you need.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, James in San Francisco. Just got a few guesses.
All right.
Barth from You Can't Do That on Television.
Yay, I'm so glad. That is true. That is correct. Oh. Nasty the Prison Warden and Barth were from You Can't Do That on Television.
Good.
A seminal classic, an all-time television classic. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Quality Canadian
Portugal,
for kids.
In Portugal, would you say obrigado?
That is correct. You would say obrigado. Yes, that's in Portuguese. Thank you. Good.
And lastly, Virginia, among the states with the highest English descent?
No. Not anymore, anyway. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I should have saved that. I should not have taken a risk. I should have ended on one of the ones.
That's okay. No harm, no foul.
Darn.
There you go.
Darn. Well, one of these days I'll call in when I have a question prepared for you guys. But great show. Thank you. Obrigado.
All right, obrigado. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. Christina from Oakland.
Hi.
I'm going to try to finish out the thank you category.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Let's see. In Hebrew, it's toda.
Right. Excellent.
And in Arabic, it's shukram.
Good. Correct.
What else do we need?
Greece.
Efaristo.
Very good. You got everything.
Nice
for you. Woo-hoo. Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're a polite person wherever you go. Very good.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And, okay, I'm going to give you, Kira and Lori, opportunity to give one quick question. So who has the shortest one?
I do.
You Kira, always say that.
I know. Right. So, Kira, I'll give it to you.
No, please take it.
The Cleveland Indians have announced their official name change starting next year. What is their new name and which celebrity announced it?
Well, they're the Guardians, aren't they?
Yeah, the Cleveland Guardians. And they hired which celebrity to make the public service announcement?
Was it like Chris Pratt or something?
Not Chris Pratt, but somebody young and not young, somebody contemporary and very popular.
Oh, I was just thinking they would hire somebody from Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, they didn't. They hired somebody who has a theatrical connection to Cleveland, of all things. Really famous superstar.
True character.
Right, read that out.
Okay.
And then, oh yeah, Drew Carey. That's a good guess.
But he's not
a young superstar.
I'll go, take away young. This person isn't young. This person's been around. Just very popular.
All right. So since Lori's question was brief, Kira, I'll give you a chance to give a short question.
Do I have one? Okay, here's one. So Carrie Fisher wasn't just space mom. She was also a highly regarded script doctor. And her career as a script doctor was launched in 1991 after she overhauled portions of the script to what film that starred Robin Williams as some grown-up dude named Peter Banning?
I have no idea. Was that Hook?
It was Hook.
Yes.
She started off, I guess, rewriting Tinkerbell lines, and then she kind of wrote around it.
The Peter Banning got me. I didn't know Carrie Fisher did a rewrite.
Yeah, she did rewrites of a lot of movies, or at least she added lines to a bunch of movies, and just a diverse set of movies, too.
Cool. That's great.
Stuff you might expect, like things by Steven Spielberg, and things you might not expect, like Coyote Ugly or The River Wild. So,
wow. That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Steven Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Kira, is Rhoda Dimple Carol Burnett?
Yes. Rhoda Dimple and Alfred Funt are from The Carol Burnett Show. That's a bell.
Good.
And then I think, didn't Tom Hanks announce the Guardians?
He did. He turned out he interned at the Cleveland Shakespeare Company for 3 summers, and so he has a great affection for Cleveland. Very nice. Good work.
Okay. Question for you. I've got 5 movies. Tell me what they have in common. It's a behind-the-scenes thing. Little Big Man, The Godfather, The Exorcist, The Hunger, and Death Becomes Her.
Do they win special effects or makeup?
No. It's related, but it's not Oscar related.
Was it? Are you looking for the name of a makeup artist or some such?
Yep.
Okay. Is it the same person who did American Werewolf in London?
That's no. Rick Baker, isn't
it?
Okay.
But the answer is not Rick Baker?
No. It's kind of like Rick Baker's mentor. I guess
that's what you're looking for, but you're looking for the makeup artist for all those, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Rick Baker's mentor.
And it's makeup.
No.
I think at any given time I can usually name exactly one makeup artist.
Can you name someone besides Rick Baker?
No, it's Rick Baker.
That's
the only one I can ever be counted on to name with Harryhausen is stop motion.
He's the stop motion guy. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. His name was Dick Smith. He's the dean of movie makeup. So follow up, what movie did Dick Smith win an Oscar for? Ooh. Not out of that list.
Right.
Was it before or after this list?
In the middle of the list.
Was it in the middle? Okay. Well, I guess, this is... Death Becomes Her is late 80s, and that's the most recent. Exorcist is late 70s?
Exorcist was 73. Death Becomes Her was 92.
Okay. I thought it was still the 80s.
Was it one with really, big-time makeup? Because, I don't think of The Godfather like that, but The Exorcist and Death Becomes Her had huge makeup stuff.
Yeah, and a little bit...
Yeah.
It was extremely prominent old age makeup.
Oh, wait.
I do know this. Amadeus.
Correct.
Oh, nice.
Right. He did Salieri's old age makeup with when he narrates the. Right. Okay. I remember that.
Good job. Get a bell. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Did you get the garage door opener yet?
Not yet.
Is it Michigan?
It is not.
Okay. And the taser, I think, was Arizona.
That is correct. Reason. Arizona, 1974. That is correct.
Thanks. And then the U.S. states with the common English ancestry. How about Rhode Island?
No.
Or New Hampshire?
No.
Nope. Okay. The middle names is Wile E. Coyote. Is that Erasmus?
It is not.
Okay. And Maynard G. Krebs probably wouldn't be Gilligan, would it be?
That would be so good, but they didn't anticipate that. Not Gilligan.
Okay. The popular condiments, I find it hard to believe soy sauce isn't number one.
Yeah, I agree. Or even on the list, I will spot you that much. Neither ketchup nor soy sauce on this list.
Wow. Whoa.
Okay, how about hot sauce? Too generic? Or
it is
salsa?
Salsa. Salsa is number three on the list.
And then mustard. I'll guess mustard. Why not?
No, it's more of a mustardy thing, but it's not mustard. It's more of a...
Oh, white truffle sauce. I don't know.
It is a white sauce.
Oh.
Go ahead and finish this one off.
Got it? I have
I can't think of it off the top of my head. A luxury
white sauce. A white sauce? You mean like the generic white sauce that you buy in a can? White sauce?
How about mayonnaise?
Hollandaise?
Mayonnaise is correct.
Oh, mayonnaise.
That was mayo. Okay.
According to the UK, Money Magazine, guacamole, mayonnaise, and salsa, the most popular condiments in the world.
They love mayonnaise in the UK. I can't tell you that much.
Yeah. Okay, and then my question has to do, there are three films in which one of the acting roles generated two Oscar nominations for acting.
You mean the same character in the same movie, two different people?
Yes.
Okay, so Iris is one of them.
Yeah, except for two different people in two of the films.
Oh, two different people in two films. So you're not talking about like Iris or Titanic? You mean something more along the lines of like the Joker?
No. In the same film.
In the same film.
But one of the films, it's only one person who generated the two nominations.
So, wait a minute. Now I'm confused. So is there a possibility that, for instance, the role could have been played by a child at first and then an adult and then they had both been nominated?
Yes. But, But they weren't children, no.
But Iris and Titanic, are those two of them?
Yeah, Iris and Titanic is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, both Kate Winslet and Judi Dench were both nominated for playing Iris Murdoch and Kate Winslet and Gloria Stewart.
Right. Then, okay, good. Okay.
Okay, and then the third film is...
This was like from the 50s?
Earlier.
Okay, yeah, this is a guy...
Yeah.
It's an actor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get
you. You sound like a psychic, Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna cold call you on this whatever it's the cold read. There you go. I'm gonna do a cold read. No, it is. It's a guy. I'm not gonna get any farther than that. I'm just
saying. Irish actor.
Oh, Barry Fitzgerald was nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor for Going
That's right.
Away. Is that
You're correct. Yeah, that's the one. Very good.
All right.
Awesome show. Adios. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
I'm wondering if English heritage goes to West Virginia?
No.
All right. Hoping that garage door openers were invented in California, the motor state.
No. It's a western state, but it's not California.
All right. Then I have a quick question for you, because all my other answers were guessed by others. So someone analyzed the most often searched for questions on Google that begin with, how do you spell blank? And between March 2020 and March 2021, do you know what the most search for word was? How do you spell this word?
Is it something political?
No, but it's something contemporary.
Yeah, some virus stuff?
Coronavirus or something of that kind, or COVID?
So coronavirus was one of them. The top one was quarantine, Do you know how people most commonly misspelled quarantine?
Did they put a double E-N at the end?
Because they didn't know how to spell it. They didn't know how to spell it, so they guessed, they said, how do you spell this instead?
Gosh.
Did they start it with the letter C?
They did.
Yeah. Huh. And think of how I would spell it if I did. Yeah. I mean, I can't guess beyond that, but I could see if you didn't know that. Yeah. That's interesting. Are you going to tell us the whole thing? Or is that
sure, I will. It's quarantine, C-O-R-N-T-E-E-N. And in California, the most searched for word was separate. S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E. A frequently misspelled word.
Remember, there's a wrap and separate. That's how I learned to not make that mistake. There's a wrap.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. I learned something.
Mnemonic. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, all.
Good night. Thank you very much.
These off.
Time to clean up here. Kira, anything?
Wendell Sanders and Megan are from Key and Peele, and that's all I got.
All right. Laurie.
Alfred E. Newman's middle name is Enigma. Wile E. Coyote's middle name is, anybody know? It's Ethelbert for some reason. And Maynard G. Krebs in one show says the G stands for Walter, of course.
All right. Let's see. The four states where the most common ancestry is English, Utah, Idaho, Vermont, and Maine. The garage door opener was invented in Wyoming in 1918. And that's it for me. If we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Laurie Fisher from Dapa Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Minor for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Have a very happy Labor Day. And we do hope you will join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.